Blog Talk Radio.
Golden Voice and Fingers of the wonderful Shout Even Shy, and she was playing and recording the lyrics of The Words You Cannot Say by the poet Jay Hatter. Hello, my co-host Jay Hatter. How are you?
I'm just fine, happy. Thank you.
Excellent. Now, we have joining us shortly Deborah Lee, and I should explain, we are all writers and poets, and we are on a team of voices, and that team of voices is based at allpoetry.com. So if you want to go and see and read along to all of the words and lyrics of everything that we're doing, the place to go is to go to allpoetry.com, get yourself a free account, which you can on allpoetry.com, and then go and knock on the door of a group called a team of voices with one of the groups there on All Poetry, and then you will be able to follow along with all of the words and things that we do on the board. So I'd love to have you there. In the meantime, though, it may well be that you're a poet from All Poetry and you want to sort of get yourself on the air, and tonight the way to do that would be to call in about the subject that we have today, which is, of course, the wonderful subject of tea. That being T-E-A. T. T. city, yeah? And so that's the way to go. But tonight we're on tea. So now there are lots of poems about tea, and we're talking, of course, the stuff that you drink, and you know, not coffee, but so you know, tea has been around for thousands of years, Adam, thousands of years, and it's been, it was sort of discovered in Europe by having it come back with the Portuguese from China. And
so Marco Polo.
In the 1600s, actually, in the 1600s. So that was where tea originally was rediscovered by people, apart from in the Far East, where of course it had been imbibed for, you know, literally thousands of years, and tea bushes had been harvested for over 3,000 years, Hatter. So, you know, it had been around for a long time. And tea, of course, it then made its way through Europe and the rest of the world and has been drunk widely and all over the place. So you know, you know, wonderful drink, and you know, I'm a classic tea drinker, Hatter. I drink my tea without sugar, without milk or cream, and I just drink it black.
Yep.
So
yeah,
when in doubt,
think of all the other spices, all the other spices, you know, there was like Marco Polo days.
Yeah, well, there's a whole truck of things that you can put in with it, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about that in my poem. But how did you find the subject of tea to write about, Hatter?
My angle, it came fairly easy. I got an idea and I stuck with it, and it worked. I mean,
well, there you go.
Came together. Tell me if it worked, yeah.
That's good.
You know what the title is?
No, I don't. I see it up on the board. So you did, what is the title?
Tea.
Well, that's it.
It's tea.
Well,
that's
a sort of inventive title, Hatter.
I could have grabbed the line in it. But
and so
I wanted to
now,
be able to.
Okay, I can see it now. It's up on the board. So with one of your images with it, yeah. So do you want to take us away with your poem,
sure.
Tea?
Sure, I'll do that. And it goes like this. It started in a limerick with nothing else to say. I fell into a field of grass rolling in a Mary J. I watched a match run up a hill, being chased from the flames of hell. My magic bags I give to M, but he had his own to sell. Losing light, I turned to O, stopping once to chase a P. I jumped the queue for a passing R, kicking S and sipping tea. The wars had started next to you for something doubled in a tree. I tried to calm the coming storms, screaming it was only me.
The old put the U in the palm trick, Hatter.
Yeah,
I like
couldn't do the whole alphabet, but
no.
I started at J.
You did start at J, and you went on to M and had an O, a P, and an S, a T, and a U. So you've covered, you know, a good section of the middle of the whole tree, haven't you, really?
Well, and the next line is double. It's doubled in a tree, so next to U, double U.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Really,
I didn't say that. I'm glad you pointed it out. I like that.
A lot of tweaking.
No, I do. I like that. I like the gratuitous use of letters, Hatter. I think that is more than appropriate to the prompt.
Yeah.
Yes. I think there was definitely an angle to go with what you did, and you ran with it to a T, huh?
Yeah, and I got the idea that I always mentioned the poet wars, when the poet wars start, certain people I want on my team. And it started with a limerick. And the wars had started next to you for something double in a tree, calmed the coming storm, screaming it was only me. Yeah. Mellow out. Limerick's kill.
No, it's pretty nice. No, that's very well. That's true. I've never thought about that before, but I limericks can do many things, and I guess killing is one of them. Hatter. So I sort of we need to review our thinking. But I do like the use of letters in a poem, and because it's kind of fun. I did a poem once where the United Nations said that there were far too many letters and that they said they were going to get rid of a couple. And I think I got rid of C from memory. And then I wrote a poem where all the, well, it might have been V, where all the words in it were missing that letter. Yeah. And it was kind of fun. And so any sort of interesting sort of letter play and stuff which sort of talks to, you know, the connection of letters to words, I think is clever. And so I've done that. I think it's a really clever way to go.
I see a couple errors I got to fix.
Well,
supposed to be being chased from the flames of L. Not hell.
Ah. Oh, okay.
I think that's it. I think I fixed it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay.
So I should say that normally Deborah Lee would be with us from the start, but she's expecting to join us pretty soon. Adam.
Yeah.
And
not
the same
without her.
It's not. No, I agree with you. And I should have also said that for the last 4 weeks or so, we've been doing quite a wonderful series of productions. I think productions is the best way to call them, not poems, Gonzo. And we have the final episode of that tonight, Pater, part five, the final episode at 5 on 5.
Can't wait.
So that'll be really cool because that has been a highlight.
The performances.
The
performances, the skit performances, poetic performances. That's the next level of evolution we're going through. Yeah.
Yeah, far way and above, you know, just something that's written down and thought and expression. It's far more like, you know, what I remember from like Goon Show and the radio shows before television came along, where you have a complete production of different voices and different sound effects, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There are a lot of actors. There are a lot of actors to my life that I go, okay, where did he come from? What did he do? You know, and, for example, the guy that plays Cannon, William Conrad, sort of heavy set dude. He's got a loud voice. I figured he'd come from the stage. No, he was Marshall Dillon on the radio show of Gunsmoke.
Right.
So he sort of had a sort of walked right into. And the guy that played Floyd on Mayberry was Chester.
Right.
On the radio, yeah. Interesting thing.
So, while we are waiting for Deb to join us, Pat, I am going to put my poem on the book. Yeah?
Okay.
And I, took liberty with the prompt. Now, I should say, too, Ada, it's your turn to choose a prompt for next week, so don't forget that. We need a prompt for next week. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Just noting. And so I sort of went a little bit wider than T, which I'm allowed to do because it's my topic. And so this is the appropriately entitled, and it goes a little bit like this. Filter batch coffee is not real, and Starbucks in Australia went broke. Our morning beverage, a serious deal, on a salted caramel hot chocolate, I would choke. Espresso is an art form here. Italian immigrants imported machines. Been getting European coffee near cafes all grind their own beans. And tea should be served without milk, not with ruby grapefruit and honey. And forget iced tea, matcha, green silk, because it really is a complete waste of money. Tea cultivated in China for thousands of years, brought back to Europe by a Portuguese beam, a simple art of dried leaves in water sears. And there is no possible way. You need cream. End poem.
Did Starbucks go broke?
They did. They did.
Wow.
They put out, you know, they put out 150 stores, and I think today 10 of them are open. Hatter?
Wow. That speaks volumes of the Australian people.
They went broke in Australia. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah.
I wrote and for a contest, the prompt was, I think it was just coffee.
Yes.
So, I wrote how Starbucks saved the world.
Well, I, as you know, have been to America a number of times. Yes. And I can relate to you times where I have been late for business meetings solely because we have been sitting in a queue at Starbucks, usually at the drive-thru, usually in a queue too wide, waiting for coffees of various sorts to be taken into this business meeting before we begin. Yeah? And often, the coffee cups, you know, are bigger than anything else anybody's taking. You know, like, they've got a couple of pens, and then like this massive, bloody, big, huge, friggin' thing of coffee from Starbucks, like a litre. And as I said, I've fed income seen shouting, yelling arguments in Starbucks car parks. Now, people clearly prepared to tread over people in order to get it, yeah? And, but, But in Australia, it don't flow that way, yeah? And particularly not in Melbourne, which is the home of both Greek and Italian immigrants to Australia. And they bought filter coffee machines from Europe over, and I think the first one came over in the late 1940s. All right, so we've had these buggers here for about 80 years, and we know a coffee or two, or even three. And Starbucks ain't it.
What coffee machine? Are you talking the espresso type machines, or just
full-on European espresso type machines, the drip sort of through freshly ground bean.
They had them in the 40s.
Yep, late 40s. Yep.
Wow, I didn't realize that was. I thought it was more of a new thing, like a 60s, 70s.
No. Pellegrini's opened with the first of the Italian cafes, opened in Melbourne about 75 years ago, and it opened with Italian drip filter coffee machine.
Yeah, I was I cruised the western states Highway 1 with a friend of mine. We started right above San Francisco, Point Reyes, and then we just took the scenic highway up to the Oregon border. And every other day we would jam in inland to one of the towns and get him a hotel room and shower and clean up and such. But my friend who was with Billy Brett, he was a bartender, maitre d' type guy, gift of gab, good looking dude, you know. Turned me on to this. I'd never had espressos before. This is in the 80s.
Yes.
And I never had espressos before. So we'd start our day with a cup of coffee and then two of those shots. I was wired for days, man. Jesus.
Oh, no, it's a completely different experience than other forms of coffee. Yeah, it really is.
You know, I got to give a shout out to this. When I didn't have the internet signal when I first come down here, I would go to the Starbucks near me in Town and Country, is what it's called. And I left my appointment calendar book that had over $100 in it, two winning lotto tickets, and basically all of my, you know, information, contacts and stuff. And I got home and I knew I was lost maybe an hour or two later. So I called. I said, man, is this possibly, you know, been left in the booth? And he go, yep. Somebody brought it to the front counter. Went down there. Everything was in it.
Yeah, right.
So there's honest people. Somebody's knocking on my door. Hold on.
Okay. You better get that then. Head up.
Yeah, but I got to say that was very, very... We need the... Hey. Well, no babies in baskets. Or,
you okay?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know who it was. They're not there now.
There you go. I have had up. This is an image I'm just putting up on the board, if I can get it to work. This is one of the first Italian cafes in Melbourne. This is Pellegrini. I was talking about, and it opened in 1954 and is still trading.
Got some devoted customers.
So what's that? 68 years that cafe's been going in that state.
Is that just a front? Where there's no seating, or does that go back down that wall? You can see it in
It's inside. So now I have a couple of people on the board, and one of them is Stephen, who needs to read his poem. And so, okay. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am very, very well. And I think also we might have another person here. Is that you, Sky 603?
It is me.
Sky
said
sorry,
she can wait to
meet me
up.
So there you go. So I am going to put, Stephen, I am going to put your poem on the board because I know you have been hosting, as has Sky. So let me go and grab your poem and put it up on the board. And then while you're doing that, I can ask you, Sky, if you have any poems that you want to share with us.
Yeah, I did. I brought a bit of a brevity. Yeah.
Oh,
brevity.
Cool. Okay. Well, Stephen,
you can do that.
I've got you up first, and then I'm going to put Sky on the board.
Okay. This is the only poem I have written when it comes to tea, and it was actually done for a contest for forms, and I think it was actually Sky was one of the judges, if I remember right. The form was slide on it. And this is called Tea for My Love. A clear cylinder with yellow-tinged stain, an evergreen branch dying next to it. The cylinder holds a candle not lit, a tangled string of lights within it sit. terrible feeling deep down in my pit. Its black base nearly soaked through brings me pain. The beige teapot sits all covered with dust. Two rabbits sit and quietly watch me. I do not know what they may hope to see. Perhaps they wish to see my love for thee. You are the only one I speak to free, for you are the only friend that I trust. The tea will never be ready on time, but perhaps there will be time for a rhyme. End poem.
There you go. So it's a slide sonnet, Stephen, with a very distinctive rhyme pattern and a 10-syllable count. So that's quite a tight pattern you're actually running to there, and you've done that very neatly, because that's not straightforward. So very, very well done.
Thank you.
Dragon Sorceress. I see the Dragon Sorceress was a creator of the Easy Rider slide. Excellent. No, this is it was very good. It reminded me. Did everybody have a family the cookie jar? Yeah, my mom had a classic one. It had white. It had little pictures of different kinds of cookies all around it.
Yeah.
Jar. Anybody else have a family cookie jar?
Yeah. No, took us there. Well done. Thank you, Hatter. And Sky, did you want to put your poem directly up onto the board that you have? And while you were doing that, Stephen, did you want to talk us through what's happening over at A Poetic Slice of Life for the next few days?
Sure. Our next show is Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We're celebrating Memorial Day. It's kind of open poetry for the vets. Any kind of poem about veterans is acceptable. We're going to honor the veterans at 7:30 p.m. on Monday. And then Wednesday, Hatter, get something ready, because Wednesday the Poetic Inklings is going to feature quotes from the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All right, Hamilton. Not always. Tasty babes.
There you go. So, no, that was fun. So, I don't know how you went in the competition. I didn't ask. Oh, you got an HM. You must have gone okay. That's a great result. So, and I have to say too, I am very impressed that you had the original teapot. And is that your teapot, by the way?
Yeah, it was. Kind of wrote things that were around the. On the kitchen counter around the teapot. That's pretty much what I was bringing into the imagery.
Yeah. And so that is your teapot, yes? So that is not a staged teapot. That is an actual working teapot.
Yeah, but it never has tea in it.
It's not
for decoration.
It never has tea in it. So it's sort of like a sage teapot then, because I mean a teapot's got to have tea in it. Otherwise, it's not a teapot. It's just sort of like a sort of something that sits on the counter, you know.
Yeah.
At some point next time, we said we'll have to find out why that teapot's not being used. I'm fascinated.
That's funny because I do drink tea. I just never use the teapot.
Well, there you go. There's something in that. There's something deep in that, but probably not right now because you probably are wanting to go to bed and all that stuff. But there's something deep in that, I think, somewhere. So with that, Stephen, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for your poem on tea. Thank you for the teapot that you don't use.
Thank you.
And we will catch up with you next time, whatever that theme is.
All right.
Seesaw. Peter Potter.
Seesaw.
Seesaw.
Okay. Seesaw. Right. I like that as a topic, by the way. Seesaw is the topic for next week. Seesaw. Okay. We can work with that. Okay. Right-ho. Well, Stephen, thank you. Always a pleasure. And we will leave you to come up with a seesaw poem for next week.
All righty. I'll work at it. You guys have a good night.
Okie doke. Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks again. Okay, talk soon.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Now, as we said, Hatter, that I did not talk to you about, or we did not exchange any information about the topic for next week, but I think seesaw is a great topic. I like seesaw a lot. Hatter, I think you've done well.
Yeah, until you start trying to write to it, and you go, damn. You just never know how it's going to go.
Well, no, you don't. This is true. This is true. Some topics sort of scream at you and say they're going to really work, and some don't. Yeah.
Curl your toes.
And it's hard to know until you get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You know, I think T actually went surprisingly well, all things being equal.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. Now I have a message here from Deb from about 10 minutes ago that says she is almost at home, which would mean that she is now dialing in. Hello, Deb. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
She made it.
Yeah, good.
Nice.
Yes. We
yeah,
we,
it's a foggy night and the deers are out like crazy, so it was a slow ride.
So we can read ours again.
Did you want to read yours again quickly, head up?
No, yeah. Let Sky go. But for Deb.
Sky didn't see it. She was there and then she was gone.
Oh, of course. Where's this guy? Sky.
So, anyway.
I got to read where that comes from. This beginning of
crazy train
from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
No, it's all good.
Okay, head up. Do you want to go back and read yours, and then I'll go back and read mine, and then we will hit.
How'd you trip, Deb? You said the deer are out?
Say that again?
Did you say the deer are out?
Yeah, they're out at the edge of the street. At one part of the road, she was just standing there right in the middle of the road. I'm like, so I, you know, of course, slowed down and went around her, but then it stressed me out whether the person behind me was going to see her, and that she wound up being fine, but my stress level was through the roof and, you know, extra cautious on the way home, but it is what
people
it is when you live in Farmville, USA.
Yeah, people don't realize when they see that doe fly across the road ahead of them, there's usually fawns following.
Even if not, they're rarely just alone. Like, there's a herd that uses the backyard here as part of its trail.
Yeah.
And so usually when I see them, there's a half a dozen or more that are, you know, all about to cross to wherever it is they feed. And it's a scary thing.
It is.
You're leading off.
Okay. I edited it a little bit, Deb. So this is what it ended up. Started in a limerick. Nothing else to say. I fell into a field of grass rolling in a Mary J. I watched a match run up the hill being chased from the flames of L. The magic bags to give to M, but he had his own to sell. Losing light, I turned to O, stopping once to chase a P. I jumped a Q from a passing R, kicking S and sipping T. The wars had started next to you, for something doubled in a tree. I tried to call for the calming storm, screaming it was only me. Poet Wars.
Letter Wars. I thought it was interesting. Oh. Deb, what did you think?
Did you lose her?
Hello.
I'm you.
Hello, Deb?
I'm talking to the mute button. This is the one that you read earlier, right? But a little different.
Yeah, good. Yes. A lot of changes. But the one that I'm sure.
A whole lot. And I was looking for the one that we were talking about. I don't even remember hearing it, so I was looking for it, but it's like just history. So, okay. But still, both ways it came out really awesome. And I have to say that when you were done reading, I got a kick out of the fact that you said, oh, I think AP's going to like this one. So, you know.
I did say that. I said, I think AP is going to like this.
I know. I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true.
I think it's really clever. You know, I think. My favorite
is jumping from a moving R, from a passing R. I jumped the queue from a passing R. Car. So that's it reminds me of those words that you can put in front of them. As long as the first two letters in a sentence you start, you can put anything behind it, and you'll know what. What that word's supposed to be. Do you know what I'm saying? It can be misspelled. It can be totally different. But in context, reading in a sentence, as long as the first two letters are there, pretty much don't need the. So let's say you don't need more than half the alphabet in any sentence. Just give me two letters of every word.
it's very neat. Very, very neat. And so you've been listening to us, Deb. So you heard us earlier on with the original one and then the newer one, yeah?
No. He read it to me this afternoon.
There were questionable lines that I took out.
Got it. Well, Deb, I will read mine to you, which hasn't changed, but it's kind of fun anyway, which is appropriately entitled Percolated Coffee Tastes Like Dishwater. Goes a little bit like this. A filter batch coffee is not real, and Starbucks in Australia went broke. Our morning beverage a serious deal on a salted caramel hot chocolate I could choke. Espresso is an art form here, and Italian immigrants imported machines. Been getting European coffee near cafes all grind their own beans. And tea should be served without milk, not with ruby grapefruit and honey. And forget iced tea matcha green silk, as it really is a complete waste of money. Tea cultivated in China for thousands of years, brought back to Europe by Portuguese bean. The simple art of dried leaves in water sears, and there is no possible way. You need cream. End poem.
Well, now this is really cool, and I have to say that there's quite a few of the things that I agree with, such as milk and tea. I don't. And then the espresso in any form here. I don't. The only time I have an espresso is if it's like right after. A fancy Italian meal, and it has Sambuca in it. But since I've sworn off of Sambuca, and I won't share that story, I don't use drink espresso at all anymore. Filter batch coffee is not real, and Starbucks in Australia went broke. That is quite fascinating. And percolated coffee always tends to have that ground kind of thing. But I just like my plain old automatic drip, Mr. Coffee Pot. But I'm also a fan of tea. So, like I said, there was stuff in here I disagreed with, but there was a lot I agreed with too. But regardless of that, the poem itself is really cool with your ABAB style. And forget iced tea, magic green silk. It really is a complete waste of money. Is that thing that looks like spinach juice? Is that what the matched green silk is?
Yes. Yeah.
That looks gross.
Yes.
I wonder.
The question.
Does it ever,
is,
does
do
it taste
your own
anything
beans?
Like it looks? Which is kind of you.
Yes. Gruesome. I say. Sorry, Hannah.
The question is, Deborah, do you grind your own beans?
Do I?
No, that's good.
I don't. I'm a Folgers girl. I don't know what to tell you. Although I can appreciate a really good coffee at a restaurant. But
yeah.
I'm a Folgers girl with cream and sugar, just plain. I don't like flavored cream. I don't like the snickerdoodle coffee or anything. I just plain
no.
coffee.
No.
Or
they've
tea with
good,
a little bit of
good
sugar, no milk, ever. Ever.
I'm a Folgers guy, too. But yeah, I'll tell you what, the non-dairy creamer chocolate, I do like that. It's hard to get. As soon as you put it up in the show, and it serves.
I actually never heard of it.
It's just, you know, non-dairy creamer is just made in chocolate, not the liquid form, but the powder. And I think they have French vanilla, a couple other.
Wait, you put powdered milk in your coffee?
Yeah. I do.
Wow. My grandma said, if you have nothing nice to say, say nothing. So there you go.
Ooh, but I'm at least I'm a Folgers guy.
Oh, big reaction. Big reaction.
I love Folgers.
No, let's see. I told you, Hannah, it was a good topic. Good topic. It's brought that strength of reaction. It's a good topic. Now, Deb, that you are with us, it's important that we, as a group of three, sit back and admire the work of We Are All Gonzo, because we have got to the final episode
Gonzo.
five of the Bing Beauty audio drama. And so I'm going to put that up on the board now, and then I'm going to press play. And
if you don't see it, just refresh.
I've done it. It's all good. And then if we have, I've got one more poem to reprise on Tea. And next week, I should say, Deb, that we are doing Seesaw. Seesaw is...
Seesaw?
Seesaw.
Seesaw.
As in the...
Peter Potter.
Yeah. So, here we go. Before we get to all of that, I should say, here we go for the last time, part five of We're All Gonzo, and it's starting now.
How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I could do things my way?
Alone in the forever woods, made of stone and heavier goods, this clever dome home, brightly lit, brilliantly shone. Residence of a former scruff, witty, nimble, with not enough food on his plate, so to compensate, he had an overwhelming desire for stuff. At first understood and even admired, until greed took hold, becoming Jack's stronger desire. After struggling through the loss of his mother, he decided no longer he would feel want like another. Inside the shack lay a rather fat goose, overfed with loose tacks, so he could produce golden eggs by the pack. But if it refused, Jack would rack his neck with a noose. Each golden gift the roosting goose left slid a rift between Jack and his royal, loyal pet. At first gentle was the boy with his pleas, bended knee begging he would bow to the swan, but the relationship crippled as time rippled on. Gathering wealth to hoard for himself, he entrapped the quacking rat with no slack to his shelf. Now, with surging broth, the goose itself struggles on, finding no more wishing for Jack to change his ways, just wishing for a single moment outside of its cage.
Well, now, I reckon it's about time you give me the good stuff, darling. Papa needs an advance on that paycheck. Don't make me use something worse. And quit sounding like a chicken. You're a goose. I hate that.
Jack shoved the cattle prod toward the fowl's jaws. It rattled and cawed. Pure agony for the battered bird, treated like refuse, needed an abuse, is how it lived to serve its absurd recluse, not quite the life deserved. Steps ever slip, creeped outside, quick and nimble, tips gripped a ledge while eyes pried. Each night, Goosey Goose would pray to get loose, but by instinct he cawed when a spine sleepy he saw. Jack gripped the bird like an AK, a pair of wings and a pair of feet in each hand, quite the display, staring eye to eye with the goose while the gooses faced the opposite way. Sleepy burst through the archway. Jack cocked the bird, its head and stomach compressed, expelling, taking a golden egg to her chest. It felt like her lungs had went into a rest as her breast and the rest dropped thoughtlessly through her vest.
Well, well, well. I've been waiting for you ever since I heard you escape the castle. Pretty little thing like you took one whole week to get to me. I'm disappointed. I figured I'd be higher on your list.
Sleepy coughed, ruby red gripping the cloak over her bruised bones as the mirror glared and stared from a window all alone. Jack grabbed Sleepy by the hair and dragged her down the stairs to the outside and then slammed her down on the ground with his might. He reached into his pocket, pulling out something green, and began littering the area with magical beans.
Now watch this.
Jack stood back and spat before her feet when Sleepy found herself at the peak of the 20-foot tree.
Ain't that a sight? These things are damn right magical. Thanks to that goose inside, I can afford a never-ending supply.
She eyed the wide 3-gallon bucket of water overflowing.
I think you know where this is going. Oh, by the way, say hi to the giant up there. You know, before he rips you to shreds.
Splashing around as roots crashed to the ground, propelling the mound of leafy mass high in the sky. Sleepy found a vine held on for dear life as the stalk swayed side to side and began to petrify. It bent and slammed against an invisible brace, quite loud, a puffy masquerade designed to shroud the location of something both terrifying and beautiful. Sleepy dared to take a step, not knowing where the footings be next. She stood in front of the castle, silent, preparing to battle the hair-raising giant, pearlescent luminescence. The ivory tower stood proud, camouflaged within the mounds of fluffy clouds. Tales from past were told of creatures falling cold to the unforgiving ground, soundly crushed by rage uncontrolled. Tossed down from the blue yonder, leaving a reminder of somber times ended, lost lives ran back, turning into the dust of old. Many armies lay siege to the sky domain, yet its single king remained one and the same. Despite the trebuchets that tossed flaming death towards the sun, never came the day of the giant's reign undone. A creature beyond compare, dangerously skillful and violent, for the first time in many years. Sleepy's hand shook no matter how hard she tried to hide it. With her last ounce of courage and also her sanity, she rushed the broad gates, preparing for a costly calamity. The stress was nothing new. That fear and uncertainty she knew too well. What's left to do but progress through when your surrounding view is already hell?
Didn't hear Sleepy's voice this time.
Well, we had Beans and we had Jack and we had Beanstalk and we had all the other stuff. We had trebuchets. I haven't seen a poem with a trebuchet in it for ever.
Pumpkin chunking.
It's a trebuchet. It's like a bloody great big special catapult. I'll put a image on the board and say, but just the rhyming in that was just brilliant.
It was.
I particularly liked taking a golden egg to her chest. It felt like her lungs had went into a rest as her breast and the rest throbbed thoughtlessly through her vest. Brilliant stuff. Just wonderful rhyme and meter. Now, while I look for a trebuchet, did you want to have a comment, Deb, on that piece?
Yeah. You know, I am so in awe of this series, of the work that he put in, the storyline. That I like how in this one he turned around and he gave us like a conclusion for each in sections with Jack and Sleepy Coughed Ruby Red gripping the cloak over her bruised bones. I mean, it's just the drama, the colorful details, a puffy mascara design. I mean, so many, despite a creature beyond compare, dangerously skillful and violent. For the first time in many years, Sleepy's hand hooked no matter how hard she tried to hide it. I mean, they do such a brilliant job. My awe is mixed with, oh no, this is the last one. I wonder if he has any more cool series like this, because now it's going to be something we miss. So since I do know you like to listen to the stuff we say about you, Gonzo, you're brilliant, and keep them coming. Very impressive. And to your family, make sure you give them a shout-out that how impressed we all are. Bravo.
We gotta split up in teams and try our own hand at something like this.
It's incredible.
What is really good, besides it's well thought out, the rhyme scheme is spot on, it flowed, was the speed he reads it in transition to the other voices. They come quickly, and I think that's I can't think of where it's used before. Remember the infomercials before TV, they had them in the movie theaters, the world events. That's how it came quickly and
but
fast.
It just is that he just has the production values are so impressive, Hatter. They really are. You know, and
that's what I meant to say.
And how he does it is quite remarkable. So, you know, really, really amazing. Now, before I forget, Hatter, I have now on the board got an image of a couple of trebuchets.
Use them in Punkin' Chunkin'. It's a whole separate category.
Yeah. These things are quite remarkable. They've got like a rail and a counterweight in that big box on the right side. And then because they've got the counterweight, it's got the sling at the back, and this thing threw rocks, and it was just, amazing
machines. This is the weapon of choice back in the day when they would seize a castle. They would use these to throw diseased bodies and horses over the walls with them.
Yeah, that's right. These things are just amazing. I actually watched a program where they built one of these things from scratch, and it was remarkable.
Some of the stuff that they, in order to see when they bring siege to the castle, some of the campaigns go for years. So they build little towns outside the walls, and they build these war machines to like the trebuchet. It's quite interesting. So some of them they build mountains that will just walk over the top of the wall. Take them 3-6 years to do it.
Yes.
But they got nothing but time.
Yes. So brilliant stuff. So but anyway, first time I've ever heard a trebuchet in a poem. So I think it was worth noting.
Yeah.
And but it's brilliant work by We're All Gonzo. And much
now, AP,
appreciated.
AP, have you seen? Have you seen the American white boys with too much time on their hands, punkin' chunkin', and the devices they use?
I have seen those. Yeah. And they are not particular.
Quite amazing. Quite amazing.
No, they are not dissimilar. So, Hatter, I have now putting up on the board my other tea poem, which is about somebody we know reasonably well. So this is 10 and 6 of Villanelle. Always worth repeating.
10 and
6. A little bit like this. If 10 shillings and a sixpence matter more than a mosaic and a mushroom, it's insight we gain daily from Hatter. Of satin and curled squares, he is dapper, his eyes piercing for a world just consumed. If 10 shillings and a sixpence matter. A flamingo framed nearby for Natter, fine stripe perspectives off a hat to him. It's insight we gain daily from Hatter. Hot tea party snacks often leave fatter, his imagination think tanks tune. If 10 shillings and a sixpence matter. His matter's deaf, not pointed as patter, because few his beliefs ever impugn. It's insight we gain daily from Hatter. This snarling world can force and then batter, generous he sugar glaze in a room. 10 shillings and a sixpence matter. It's insight we gain daily from Hatter. End poem.
How much is
cool
in at a sixpence? How much is that, American dollars? 10 shillings?
Not much.
About 70 cents? 70 cents or something? Oh, 10 shillings.
10 shillings and a sixpence. It's 10 shillings, 12, so it's 10 and 6. And so, half guinea.
I said 76.
Yeah.
1/40 of a pound.
So 10.
Or
10
half a shilling.
And a, yes, 10 shillings and a sixpence is 15 shillings. Yeah, I have that.
Well, I don't know how much a shilling's worth, but it's worth half of one of them.
Yeah, so it worth about a farthing. Would have given you about a dollar in U.S. currency, Hatter. Because, of course, this was English currency. So it's about a dollar, roughly.
Yeah. What's a farthing?
Is that what a sixpence is? I think I have one of them upstairs. I'll have to look.
You might have one. Yeah, they're not. Good question, Hatter. A farthing. It was also old money. What was a farthing? I mean, a farthing wasn't very much, was it? It was like half a shilling from memory. So let me...
I'm bummed now because I wrote a poem and then I was kind of bored with it. So I started another one.
Yeah.
I didn't finish it. So I wound up just posting the one I was a little bit bored with. And now because of the poem AP just brought, I remembered that I had a poem about Hatter tea. But anyway, now I have a pantoum.
Oh, there you go. But yeah. a farthing, a quarter of a penny.
Yeah.
So in other words, worth absolutely nothing.
That's back when they cut coins.
Quarter of a penny. Yeah. So they ended up, the farthing, the metal that was used to form a farthing ended up being worth more than the farthing itself.
Wow. I don't suppose they use that anymore.
No. The farthing has gone the way of the half penny.
The what?
Well, there was a half penny, but they don't have them anymore either. A quarter of a cent, and a half a cent, and then they got rid of both.
Now,
there you go.
Canada got rid of their, what did they get rid of?
5 cent coin?
Well, trying to think what, what they call it, because it's hilarious. They have a $2 coin or something.
Yes.
Go paper.
Okay.
I don't know about the history. The exchange. Yeah, they got a, that's right. They got a loony. A loony is $1, and a toonie.
Yes,
a
loony. Yep.
Because they got
yep.
no sense. That's right. They got rid of the pennies. They got no sense.
That makes sense. If you think about it, you know,
loony
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Pre-kids. I remember the day I went and bought 10 South African Krugerrands.
Yes.
That was a good day.
Why did they get that up?
Oh, they're full ounce of gold, each one. It was the top. It was the 999. It was the top.
Investment, gold.
Yeah, so it's like the. I guess the Canadian maple is equivalent or about the same. But,
okay.
I would sit there. I'd sit there and just hold those those coins. Quite the great feeling, man.
Well, I've got a coin for you, Hatter. I've got a coin for you. The mm-hmm. new. Australian $2 coin. Yeah. I've got coins for you. It's one, $2 coin. New Australian $2 coin.
Oh.
Is up on the board
okay,
now.
Okay, $2.
Yeah, $2 coin.
It's a bee.
You have a look. It's the honeybees.
Buzzing. Hold on, let me get it here.
That's a gorgeous
coin. Every time I go, I lose my old poetry site. Every time I can't do another tab. There must be a way. I can't figure it out. Phone's smarter than me. Okay, I'm here. Bingo. Here's the fun of it. Oh yeah, we talked about this one.
Isn't that gorgeous?
It is. Isn't that beautiful? We have to get one while you're over here for you. It's just really cool. I haven't seen one yet in circulation. They're
what,
really cool
what is
coins,
that center
though.
Made of exactly?
Is that enamel with a honeycomb?
Wow.
That's really gorgeous.
It comes in
really
another
cool.
color, too. There's you got coins similar, don't you? Isn't a coin similar?
That's a honeycomb.
Yeah.
That's a honeycomb.
Yeah,
color.
So that's the honey. So, yeah. But I think it's great. Great color.
I want one.
Yeah, I want one.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. When I see one, I'm keeping it. So anyway, there you go. so, Hannah. we have got to the end of tea, so to speak, and we have next week, Wonderful World of Seesaw. Now, a quick shout-out to Asama Chiba, one of our great writers on the allpoetry.com, and I do a show with her every couple of weeks, but haven't been able to for a month because she has not been well enough. So I am hoping that she will be well enough in the next week or so to kick that off again. So, Asama, get well, in short.
Yes.
So,
you're missed.
Hada, did you want to say any thank yous or whatevers at this point?
I want to read my How Starbucks Saved the World.
I think we should finish with that poem, Hada. That's what we should do.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for calling in, participating, you know, everybody that called in. And Sky, we missed you. You just call back.
That's it.
I got my echo on.
I can tell it. that.
It's the room I'm in.
Mm.
like the Little River Band House.
Fingers crossed.
You know, it's one of those things where you say, somebody's living in that, and somebody's got to be living in a house like Dick Clark. His house was the Flintstone house. Looked just like the Flintstones.
Ah, that's fun. Are you happy to read this one, Hatter, or did you want me to read it or Deb
read
it?
Yeah, why don't you read it? You can read it.
Okay, I'll read it. I'll read it. So this is the gold-winning poem by Jay Hatter, How Starbucks Saved the World, and it goes a little bit like this. I strongly suggest our plans be revised. I've seen how the humans power up, recharging their strength while standing in line, this place they worship, Starbucks. Each dawn they walk like the dead awakened, the work that's planned they do not discuss, speaking in tongue of a foreign land. Hot, venti-skinned half-calf shop, thank you so much. Smiling as if they know we are here, they leave with the energy times 10 of us. This place that will save them from certain death, this God they pray, Starbucks. A Scandinavian female this morning, hoping to have some centurion luck. She threw me over the patio fence while sipping a cup from Starbucks. Our mission is done. We cannot win nor fight a god with such powers. This nectar is fuel for these human beings. We should leave within the hour. End poem.
Starbucks saved the world.
That rolled on nicely, actually, Hatter. That rolled on nicely. Now, Hatter, after a period of some disruptive time, we are back to writing a collaboration next week.
We are.
And Deb,
all right.
Deb has sent us an image for that. And so we have homework to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have homework to do. Okay, be that noted.
And how many lines you want, Deb?
Well, it depends because it's been a while. Before it ended, AP was always sending around a dozen, so 8 or 12.
Yeah, we started with 10, and then he said, "Well, send me two."
Yeah.
Hey,
AP
I
sent 12, so I said 12, and then he said, "Well, hold on, he sent 16."
Let's
send,
do 12.
Send four more.
12. Let's aim at 12 each. Yeah.
Okay.
12.
Cool.
And the picture's crazy fun, so. Should be interesting.
Yeah, no, picture's good. Yeah, picture works.
Got all my
before you hang up, I would like to note that I heard, did I hear you read? Okay. I heard Hatter read today, and he, as I said, turned around and said, AP's going to like this. And I read a poem today that AP is going to share on Monday, and I wrote back to him, Hatter's going to hate this, LOL, and now you're going to have to wait till Monday to find out why, Hatter.
Oh, you're going to do that to me?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
No, it's definitely one of those situations where it's a poem that you will hate, except it's doubled down with hate.
Hmm. Can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, there are poems where, you know, I think you're going to like them, poems I think you won't like, and then there are poems I think you really, really won't like. And this falls in the category of poems that you really, really won't like.
Well, here, this is coming from the man that had me do the nonsense, the worst poem I could write that ended up being what AP All Poetry thinks that was
best.
The best.
Yeah.
Best ever.
Irony at its best.
Yeah.
I couldn't get
that
down.
Just shows you what auto rank knows. I go for the 10th to try and beat myself, not because of what auto rank might think about it.
What,
yeah, you showed me how to do it. Wrong. You showed me what I was doing wrong because I was getting when it first.
Well, it's not really a wrong thing. It's just that.
Well, I know. Well, it felt good because I put the words of Simon and Garfunkel, the Sounds of Silence, just like they wrote it. So it got bad points. So maybe you feel better.
Well, head up. This probably may not make you feel any better about AutoRank, but I just quickly put that poem into see what it would come out with on AutoRank. And you want to guess what poem that you really will dislike a lot comes out at on an AutoRank number?
Guessing, Hatter?
Say that again. You broke.
I have the poem that you really will dislike. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. But I hadn't actually put it into all poetry to see what the auto rank was until I just did it a minute ago, just for the fun of it, to see what it would be. Yeah. Do you want to guess what its auto rank is? Well, I'm splitting it here because it's 10.8. But let's round down to 10, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to hate it even more now.
Oh, okay. Can't wait.
Give you something to look forward to for Monday night.
Well, that's right, Hatter. Yeah, or not, as the case may be. Yeah. So,
Chippy, can you go to the bank and get those coins? Or the collector's things?
Good question. I think they're out and about now, so yeah, you probably should be able to, have. Yep.
Oh, they're just fresh.
Yep.
Freshly done. Freshly minted.
Yeah, they're just come out. Yeah. So they're just actually producing them at the minute. So they'll just be normal everyday $2 coins for everybody very shortly.
Okay. I got change the other day, and I got all dimes, 2022 dimes.
Oh, okay.
Fresh.
No, well, one thing I do have for you, Hatter, is that I have a coin set back from 1981, and that was the last time that Australia produced the bronze coins, the 2 cent and the 1 cent pieces.
Oh, really?
And so the 2 cent coin had a frill neck lizard on it, and the 1 cent coin had a little possum on it. So
now on the Pick Mac poll on your game show, what coin were you flipping with the platypus on one side and the queen on the other or something?
That's a 20 cent coin. Platypus is a 20 cent coin. Yeah.
20 cent.
Yep.
And you go by dollar, right?
Cent piece.
Yeah, with Australian dollar. Right.
Sorry, head up.
You have an Australian dollar, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a dollar. They're all coins up to $2. So $2 coin, $1 coin, 50, 20, 10, and 5 is what we've got.
When did you get away from pound?
In the late 1960s, Patter. Late 1960s was when we got rid of pounds. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
must be a story behind that and why.
Well,
guys. As AP said, I sent the photo, so make sure you look at that, Hatter. And for Monday, Hatter, even if you decide not to write, go take a peek at picture number 30. And AP, I had sent a couple different messages earlier, so if you haven't thumbed through there, take a peek.
Okay, thank you. I'll have a
personal 6:30 personal prompt.
Okay.
All right.
So, Hannah, we are going to close up shop, and we have Seesaw for next week, and I have to say thank you to Stephen and to Sky calling in briefly, and to We're All Gonzo for his wonderful series that we had the last episode of tonight, affording us all the way, and for everybody on the boards that comments and does things during the week. So my thanks to all of you. We will be back for the Monday show, Deb. Is that right? For our next show?
Yes, sir. With
the
crazy palindrome word bank and some really out there photos, which is where I want Hatter to look at number 30. But, yes, 10 p.m.
I'll take that one. Put it in there.
Okay, I thought you might.
And Hatter, it won't give you any great surprise to learn if you've got palindrome words, where my mind might have gone. Anyway, that's Monday. We will get there.
Evil, there are evil things that lurk in poetry.
No, but there is evil Hatter, and then there is evil plus, and that's where we've gone this week.
I think some things should not be done. You don't need to be reading shit backwards.
There you go. And so I'm just saying, if you thought about the evilest thing that you could do and then you made it more evil, what would it look like? And that's where we're going on Monday.
Wow.
You
live.
Said it.
Backwards. Live.
Yep, you said it. You thought that palindromes could not
live.
Get any more evil? I'm here to tell you,
live.
They can. Palindromes can get worse.
Oh, God.
Can get worse.
And score 10.
Yes. And score it, well, 10.8 anyway. Round it down.
There you go.
But, yes, and they can score 10s.
You know, I sit here just foaming at the mouth when you guys do that.
I know that. I know. It's somewhat scary. I'm just saying. I have invented a new form of palindrome to torture you with, and even more ridiculous than the original, which is saying something. So for all of those five people in All Poetry, palindromes, stay tuned. I've got you.
I think vacation time is coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, no, something like that. And so with that, I am going to close the show, Anna, and...
wait a second. Guess what? Gonzo just said, don't be upset. There are five more parts. Woo-hoo!
All right.
Yay!
Thank you.
Cool.
We got to do what was... I want a part. I want a part in it. I want a voice.
You've got to talk very, very nice to Gonzo then, if that's the case, Hatter. And you've got to get the front.
I wonder how he does it.
I wonder if he's got
one of the master programs where he just say the word or the sentence, and then he just goes and he just pieces them together, right? So, yeah.
Well, I've got no idea. I don't know.
Interesting. Got to be. I've seen one of those programs where it's just a splice machine.
Well,
pretty elaborate.
I don't know how he does it, but hats off. I've got to say to him for doing what he does.
We're
going
to have to try it. We got to take the next step. We got to take the next leap in poet evolution, performance. Performance.
Well, maybe. Maybe. We'll work out to do that.
Yeah.
So where the heck are we going to go? I think we haven't finished with Billy Joel for a while, so I'm going to finish with New York State of Mind, Hatter.
All right.
So we're going to finish with Billy Joel, New York State of Mind. Back next week with Seesaw, and thank you to everybody, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Love and respect, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks,
Deb.
Here we go.
Thanks,
Hatter. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you. folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood. But I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in a New York state of mind. Been high in the Rockies, under the evergreens. I know what I'm needing, and I don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. So easy living day by day, out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. Comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or Rotten Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind.
Well, we're all grateful that I muted myself for the sing-along there, especially with the time delay down in the Southern Hemisphere. We are back for Seesaw in a week's time. Until then, have a great week, and we'll see everybody. Bye, everybody.
Night, guys.
All right. Good night.